I'm delighted now to welcome back to the program Timothy McLaughlin. He's a poet. He's the founder of the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Program, which has received amazing kudos, has traveled internationally, and Madi Sato, who is a singer and director of the Sing for Joy Women's Choir. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you for having us, Mary Charlotte.
It's always great to have you. Now, you are giving a one-day workshop called Saying Yes, Poetry and Chant for Liberation. What's it all about?
It's all about liberation. We're delighted as a husband and wife team for the first time to be offering a workshop in which we want to take people on a journey deep into the worlds of poetry and music and all that they offer for people. And we believe that both of those languages, if you will, are very dynamic and have a lot of potential that isn't explored as often as it probably should be in our world today. And they're non-linear experiences, you know, that travel deeply into what the experience of living and being human being is, and really embodying the world around you and the natural world and living authentically.
So, I mean, poetry is something that, if I may say so, not everybody can write. Or is that, or are you taking a different approach?
Well, poetry is a very complex use of language, and I think everyone can write it on the simplest level. And I believe, you know, poetry is based in the idea of metaphor. When you take one thing and then another thing that's not necessarily always put next to it. And when you place those things together, you create a third energy. And that third energy is the actual. That is the real experience of life, which is non-separation. It's complete communion with everyone else, with the natural world, with the spirit realm, and that sort of thing. And so we need to experience this on a daily basis through prayer, through singing, through meditating, and all that sort of thing. So it's essential, I think, as human beings, for us to at least experience this language of poetry and swim in it and be immersed in it, even if you can't yet create it. But we're going to guide people on sort of a simple journey of creating some basic poetic language and some basic musical language.
Very interesting. When you talk about things that we need to do every day, I think that when we talk, particularly on this show, I mean, so many programs about basic human needs, and those basic human needs include things like food, shelter, and clothing, and so on. But there's this other basic human need, which is spiritual, metaphorical, human connection, and even when your physical needs are met and those things aren't there, there's a big gap.
That's right. And we really believe that the world is hungry for those things, and they're not being recognized, you know. And as a result, you have many humans who are living what we feel is a disembodied experience of a disenchanted world. And we need to re-enchant the world and realize that every moment is very full and very three-dimensional. We're living so much in our sort of two-dimensional screens and our flat surface reality, and just beneath that surface there's a whole enchanted world that is the real world, what I would call the eternal, and eternal not meaning an infinite amount of time, but more a pure presence, pure and direct presence.
There was a book called The Reenchantment of the World that did you I thought you might be referring to that.
No.
That was by, it was not a Native American writer. I believe the writer, I'm going to have to check this, was named Morris Berman. But we read this when I went to the Institute of American Indian Arts many years ago in a Native American Studies class. So it kind
wow.
of reflects the type
I didn't
of thing
know you
you're
were
saying.
A student there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago when I first moved to
yes.
Santa Fe and took art classes in Native American Studies. And that was one of the things that I learned, was that there is another way of thinking and seeing and experiencing and perceiving beyond the material that is inherent in the material, things that
That's
you're
right.
that you're living, like clay, like drawing and stuff like that.
That's right.
So, Madi Sato, your part of it, of course, is singing.
Yes, bringing in the enchantment through music. And I've been on the path of leading people through a method called yoga of the voice and guiding people into their authentic voices by using sacred traditional music from around the world to help people tap into that infinite, eternal place that Tim was talking about. And then I met Tim, and I began to work with him with the spoken word team at the Indian school, and I learned so much from him as a teacher. He is a what I consider to be a master teacher. He's been on the path for a long time, teaching people through poetry, and it just kind of naturally evolved with us both being our own artists to say, what about joining forces? That would be a powerful thing, because poetry and music are really able to do the same thing, taking people on a journey into the spirit realm, into the invisible realm, and touching people's lives. So we decided to team up and offer the poetry and music together, and I'm really excited about it on March the 24th.
Yeah, March 24th is the event, Saying Yes. It's a workshop, poetry and chant for liberation. It's a one-day workshop at Sunrise Springs from 9 to 5. Now, do you collaborate together in the sense that you write lyrics for Madi's music?
We've written songs together in that sense, and also we perform together quite often, particularly in sacred settings, you know, churches or spiritual gatherings and that sort of thing, where I might find a poem, either my own or one that I've learned, and weave it into a song that she's presenting, usually a sacred song from some tradition around the globe. And we've found that experience to be very rich and very rewarding. So that's part of where this stemmed from.
What, for each of you, is the relationship between the kind of what you might call spiritual liberation that you're talking about through ritual and prayer and music and song and movement and so on the one hand, and a more like political liberation, finding your place in society and taking real power in that way?
Well, I would say that, you know, as I said before, as human beings, one of the first things that we need to do is to embody our actual physical bodies before any of the work that we're going to do in the world has any real meaning. And when we're not doing that, we're kind of missing the point, and we're losing our effectiveness, and we don't have the same amount of energy as we would otherwise. And so if we just start with small bites, with developing a daily practice that connects us to that infinite source that we're never disconnected from, but we lose awareness of our connection. But if we just tap into it, as all the spiritual masters know and practice, and some of them have the ability and the stamina to do this for 23 hours a day, but for those of us that are more lay people in this world, just to tap in for a few moments every day will make our days better. And make us have a more clarity and more sense of what it is we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. How are we supposed to speak or walk or interact or make decisions?
If you are willing to share this, what are your daily practices actually like?
Well, I just feel like at some point in your life you just need to decide and make a commitment to finding a few minutes in the morning and even a few minutes at night just to take a moment, just to take some deep rest and be still and be quiet and just listen. So my daily practice incorporates the meditation and silent period, as well as chanting, vocalizing, getting my chi flowing and moving the energy by using my voice with sacred syllables. So I think that it not only is you know, missing in our world, but it's really important for the health of our beings, body, mind, and spirit, to take time for that because we're seeing now that people's nerves and their anxiety levels are just skyrocketing, and we need to just realize that we have the power within ourselves to calm the nervous system, to get the blood flowing by using our meditation practice and our maybe chanting and sound healing practices that are pretty easy to learn.
Yeah. And for me, I really try to balance, you know, a daily regimen, if you will, with a creative experience of my life and going with what I think I'm called to do on that particular day or in that moment. But certainly every day I pray, you know, in many ways. And I really feel that, strange as it might seem, that prayer is more about listening than about speaking. But the words, whether it's a song or a poem or another prayer, are sort of the portal to that wordless realm and that place where you can listen and be filled with spirit and be filled with what the message is for you. So again, it's a centering and a praying, a silent meditation. Often poems will come. I have a lot of poems that are sort of in my body, you know, and that's a great repertoire for me to be able to pull from at any moment. And I also exercise daily. I mean, I have a background of being an athlete, but I, at this point, mostly just run. I meditate by running on the earth, and then complementing that with prayer and meditation.
I like what you said about it's more about listening than speaking. There is a funny thing about prayer where you sometimes wonder whether people are just giving orders and commands to the
universe,
to the deities, or whatever they believe in.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, and I grew up Roman Catholic, and we're taught to sort of repeat these prayers, and I think as mantras they have a lot of power, and they can break you out of the left brain analytical realm and break you into a more right brain experience of the sacred. If you were to just repeat Hail Marys as they do with the Rosary practice, and I think that's a profound practice. But the idea of prayer means petitioning God for what you want is a very simplistic and low-level understanding of what's really going on.
I learned the other day that the rosary, the beads on the rosary, are essentially stand-ins for a string of a wreath of roses, of actual roses. And that was such a beautiful image to me.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful practice. When it's done with a consciousness.
Yeah. So this is a workshop. Anybody is welcome, even those of us whose only poetic expression might be limericks.
That's right.
Those are great, too.
Speaking for myself.
Yeah.
That's the only poetry I know how to write. And even for those who are not necessarily involved in music or singing per se.
Oh, and no experience necessary. That is the truth. My choir that I run every week, we have a group of about 30 women that most of them don't have any experience singing, and by the end of the semester they've learned so much about their voice, about making music, how to move up and down, rhythm, harmony, and that kind of thing. So I have some pretty simple ways of and safe ways of bringing people into using their voice, and before you know it, they're singing.
And sometimes that experience can be a hindrance or a block to receiving new information. That beginner's mind is most essential. And Madi and I always need to remember that, you know, if we're so-called experts in our field, that we need to bring humility to each moment, but particularly something like this where we're being presented new techniques or new information or just a new experience.
I also think, you know, you're talking about your daily practice, which I think is very important. I also think that paying attention and finding what you're drawn to as far as retreats and workshops or weekly group practices are so powerful. Combining all of the energy together in a group is that much more what I like to call medicine for the soul. And it's going to be such an amazing, beautiful experience to be at Sunrise Springs, which is south of town a little bit, but it's full of water energy and very green, and we have a beautiful spot that feels very connected to nature. You hardly feel separated from that, and we get to spend a whole day in this place, which I think ripples out and what you'll be able to carry on into your life, your daily life, and maybe, you know, spark a daily practice from it?
I think that one of the things that's so interesting about meditation and other practices of that kind is that even if you're living a very urban life and you don't have a chance to be sitting by the stream or contemplating vast fields or whatever you think might be nice, even if you're living a completely urban life, there's something about that kind of quieting down that connects you to your own nature, which is part of the streams and the fields and everything else. And so you connect to it whether you're surrounded by cement or the earth and plants.
Yes, I have a spiritual teacher who was taught and had to train in a mechanic's garage. And he thought it was the most insane and inane thing that his teacher was making him learn spiritual teachings in this sort of environment. He said, if you can't do it here, then what's the point? You need to be able to access anywhere. And the great Indian poet Kabir says, don't go outside to see flowers. My friend, don't bother with that excursion. Inside your body, there are flowers. One flower has 1,000 petals. That will do for a place to sit. Sitting there, you will have a glimpse of beauty inside the body and out of it, before gardens and after gardens. It's a beautiful poem called A Place to Sit, and it exemplifies exactly what you're talking about.
You do have poems inside your body.
Yes. Yeah. And the other one, the title of the workshop comes from the great poet David White, who I had the incredible experience to study with in Ireland a couple of years ago. And he's just a phenomenal teacher and phenomenal poet. And he's got a poem that was very special to us as a couple called The True Love. And it's about a love relationship, but it's also about anything that's a major relationship in your life, whether it's your work or your dream or grief or whatever. And inside that poem, he says that we are all waiting for that abrupt waking and that calling and that moment we have to say yes. And we want to help people, I guess, identify what it is they need to say yes to in their lives, whether it's their dream or their work or even to a sadness that needs to be uncovered and let go of, or just yes to the miracle of life and breath and being in a body and experiencing this human experience.
Timothy McLaughlin is a poet, and he's the founder of the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Program. Madi Sato is a singer, director of the Sing for Joy Women's Choir, and once again, their workshop, Saying Yes, Poetry and Chant for Liberation, will be taking place on Saturday, the 24th of March, from 9 to 5 at Sunrise Springs here in Santa Fe, or just south of Santa Fe. For more information and to register, you can email madisato, M-A-D-I-S-A-T-O, @gmail.com, or call 505-670-5840, and I will try to put a link on my website as well. Timothy and Madi, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary
Charlotte.
Thank
you. And you can also go to madisato.com, and there's a link to this flyer and more information about this workshop.
Excellent.
Yes.